I'm EJ, one of the co-hosts here. Lori T and I are going to talk about episode 61, The Masks of Balancing Life. Just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. Balancing life. We are going to talk a little bit about just in general, we all have skills and talents and professional goals, personal goals, family, friends. And when all those start to mesh, Lori and I, we are active in our church and we share our skills at church, but we also have to limit ourselves on how much we share without realizing that our skills are worth something. And when does that balance have to happen where you have to say, okay, I can give you this much help, but then after that, you're going to have to start paying me an hourly fee or something. Like how does that look and how do we balance that? Where do we draw those lines? And then when do we stop adding things into our day, our week, our month? Because we all have likes and desires and things we want to do, concerts to attend and shows to see and movies that come out. And of course there's personal and professional things. There might be a conference coming up that you want to go to. I just found out there's one of my favorite punk rock bands is going to be performing the weekend that there's already something in our schedule in my hometown where they're from. And so it's like, it's a hometown band and I want to be there for it because it's the last time they performed there was like 8 years ago. And it's like, I really want to go, but I can't. So I'm really bummed. But how do I balance my yes and my no? And then also, what do we do about it? Where do we draw those lines? And how do we communicate about it? So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And I know Lori came up with this idea, so I'm going to let her kind of take over and get us started.
Well, I love how the ideas for our podcast come from our lives, right?
Yep.
And EJ and I have a business where we help people self-publish. Not because EJ can't do it, but because she's trying to balance all her skills and talents as well. I do I'm a writing coach and editor, and then EJ uses her skills to format, build websites, do all the technical stuff that I can't even imagine doing because that is not in my wheelhouse. And we were joking as we were starting this episode that T was a great example of balancing her life. We're trying to eat, we're trying to do these things, right? Because we just, our lives are so full. Mm-hmm. So I'm editing this book, which I personally, I cannot wait until we're done and it becomes available because I'm going to buy at least 10 copies and send it out to like everyone I know. I have very much enjoyed, it is called The Art of Believing. Absolutely phenomenal. So as soon as it comes out, we can't wait to share more about it. But I feel pretty safe in sharing. There was a question in the book, and it really struck me. Last episode, we talked about all the changes going on in our lives, in our relationships. And now we have to talk about, okay, how do we balance these things? So this question, quintessential, really, says, are there things you are doing now that are permissible, but take time away from doing what is best for you? And then what steps, this was the really hard part for me, what steps will you take to rearrange your schedule to make room for what God is calling you to do? I was like, shut the door, stop it. I'm nothing. I can't. I don't know. Okay. So then I was like, the question really threw me, right? I was like, okay, Lori, this is really important. You need to write this down. So I wrote down the question. Big question mark at the end. And then I just sat and stared at it. It's like, okay, I should eventually answer this. I didn't. I literally just stared at the question and went, I have no idea what to do with this question. So then we were having a meeting about upcoming podcasts and I was sharing. And I was like, ladies, I think we need to talk about this. I think we really need to dig in here. How do we balance life? How do we do this? I have conversations with my counselor. He's like, Lori, the things you're doing in your life are not bad. They're good things. As she said, permissible. They're not bad things. Most of the things I am doing are positive things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's too many of them. Right. And there's just not enough time in a day. So I think it was later on that day, I was like, okay, Lori, you need to go back to this question.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stared at it some more and stared at it some more going, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? So I was like, okay, keep it simple. And I just started writing out all the things that I'm doing. Writers group, Shakespeare, ladies community group, baseball, church. And under church is a whole bunch of things. Sundays, Wednesdays, singles ministry, stewardship. Like it's not just go to church and sit in a pew on a Sunday morning. We're actively involved in the ministry that we are involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And you've often heard us call it the kingdom, you know, kingdom family. They're like our second family. There's God, there's family, and there's kingdom, you know, and that's kind of how it goes. And then everything else flows after that. Friday Zoom dates, because I have a new boyfriend. And so got to make time to have a date because we live in different states. So we get to meet together electronically. Podcasting, writing, photography, family, right? And this list is just, and I'm like, oh, wow, maybe my counselor's right. It's a great list. It's a fantastic list. And my life is very rich and full, but it's also too full.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure how, but we're going to talk about that today. Also, while I was on my trip that I spoke about, I know it never focuses right, so maybe if I keep my face next to it. So this here, this is called a passion planner. Something new for me. It is beautiful, but it gives me space to plan out passions, goals, things like that. So we'll get back to that positive side of how we solve all this. But a friend, while I was on my vacation, gave it to me, said, I think this would be great for you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I really need this. So I really feel like God, the universe, everyone in my life, my counselor, everyone's like, Lori, focus. What's that? Focus, Danielson, focus. You know, I feel like I need to try to focus because it's all over the place. So that's what we're going to try to do in this episode, is kind of focus and see if we can gain some new insights.
So what's interesting is when you held up that passion planner, I felt stressed. My stress level immediately went up because it was something else to do.
Amen. So it's like when I wrote down that question, I was like, well, what do I do with that? I don't know. What do you mean? What steps am I willing to take? I don't know. I was seriously frustrated and angry at that question. I am admitting that out loud. Frustrated and angry. Like, I can't answer that. Why would you even ask me that? That's not even a fair question.
I know I felt the same way when you posed it during our meeting for the podcast. Right? I was like, no, I'm not doing it. It requires more effort.
EJ?
How do I feel about it? Oh, I already want to cut stuff out of my life. Like literally,
doing though are two different things, right?
Well, okay.
Got the secret, you better share it.
Yeah, there's a two-letter word. It's called no. That's the secret.
Okay. Well, good luck with that one. I don't know that word. It's not in my vocabulary.
I know, that's my problem. Because when I say no to you,
your problem is that Lori doesn't know the word no.
Yes, because normally it's okay. So she mentioned Shakespeare, a community not far from here, but in another state, is trying to build up a Shakespeare program. I have no desire. I don't like Shakespeare. I know nothing. I don't care to know anything. I got nothing. I don't care. But it encourages her. So I take her to the events, which have been a once a month meeting. It's not, and I enjoy the people, but I have no desire for the content. So I'm only doing it to encourage Lori. That's the only reason why I even attend. And there have been times right now they've primarily been doing table readings where every month they'll do a different play and they'll need people to play the characters. And so there's been a few times where they've had a lot of characters and they've needed extra people. And so I've jumped in and played one of the smaller parts, which I'm fine with, but that's not a passion of mine at all. But I'm doing it because my best friend wants to do it. Unfortunately, she doesn't drive. And we don't know a lot of the people that live in our area to where like she could get a ride to it. So I'm happy to do it. Encourage her once a month. It's not my cup of tea. And I know I had talked with them about possibly helping with like tech or something if they had like an actual performance somewhere. But I'm like, no, because I'm serving at church on the tech team. I'm singing at church at least twice a month. I'm helping with Lori and the stewardship team at church. So those right there. And plus we have our normal weekly meetings from church. And there's so many other things I want to be doing. But I also know I have anxiety. And sometimes it's related to a lot of people, but it's also related to the constant going and doing things. I need my downtime. And so I've learned over the year, I have to say no. I have to put a boundary down because I know if I continue to put more stuff into my calendar, I'm only going to want to pull my hair out, get anxiety, have panic attacks, and go backwards in my mental recovery that I've been doing for the last like 20 years. And I love writing, and even like we connected with a group again in the other state. Obviously it's Idaho because it's the only other one near us, but we had a group and I met a person there and I, you know, we've been communicating on a regular basis and I committed to something writing related, which I think is going to be amazing because Lori and I have a self-publishing business now. This is all about indie authors. It's right up our alley. Unfortunately, I made the commitment to help with this event. And then our church announced that our women's retreat was the same weekend. So then I got the, hey, EJ, can you run tech that weekend? Hey, EJ, can you sing that weekend? Hey, EJ, can you help with this? And like literally in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, if the event is from this time to this time and I can go up there, I could help them get set up. Then I could come back and do the event. Then I could go back up there to get everything taken down. Then I can go up the next. Like literally in my head, I'm processing and I went, no, you can't do that. You have committed to this other event. It's a 1-day thing. You're not going to be able to go. You're not going to waste the time, money, or gas to go up there to pull your hair out. So I had to say, sorry, unfortunately, I've already made a commitment to something else that's on that weekend before I knew the women's retreat was that weekend, or I would totally step up and help. Like, keep me in mind for next year. Like, I just... And that's just recently. Like, I was like, and I also, you know, like Lori's going to be having surgery here soon. I want to be around for that. And it's a little easier for the specific event is like 6 hours in our downtown area. at a like a bookstore. So it's like easier. Like I could say, hey, can somebody come over and hang out with Lori for a couple of hours while I'm gone? Versus I'm going to be gone all weekend. Can somebody come and stay with Lori? Like that's a little different. So yeah, I feel like knowing your physical limits and your mental limits can help with that. Now I know like I crocheted Lori this beautiful blanket. Oh, you've got it there.
I love my blanket.
Yes, I crocheted it. I used the birthstones of all of her kids. Lori and I are in it. So it's just, it's awesome. And then at the same time I bought all the yarn for that, I bought one for me. And I'm like, okay, well, while Lori's gone, since her blanket's done, I can get started on mine. I haven't even gotten started on mine yet. So I'm like, that's something I really want to do, but I have not had time to do it. Because even while Lori was gone, I was hanging out with people because I didn't want to just fall off the face of the earth, but I was trying to like keep my balance, you know? So like, that's something I want to start. I'm like, I think we mentioned in the last episode that the week since Lori's been home has been crazy busy. So even then I was like, oh yeah, when we get back, I'll, you know, start the blanket while we're sitting around watching TV at night. When was that? What time was that? Like, when is that going to start?
Never.
So I say all that because those are some things I've had to process through and go through in my head, because I feel like, and I know you, Lori, like I see you saying yes to a lot of stuff and I'm like, girl, when are you going to say no? And I know your counselor's been saying things to you and I'm like, yeah, he has reasons to say that. I know you. I do.
I can't help myself apparently.
But I also remember somebody else had told me, you have to pick the top three things that you're most passionate about. And if what comes in your life doesn't fit into one of those three categories, it's a thanks, but no thanks, or no. So for me, it's writing. So this writing event came up for indie authors. That is right up my alley because I'm a self-publisher. I am an author. I am a business owner of a self-publishing business, like helping people do that. Like that's right up my alley. Shakespeare, not so much, but right now it's like once a month and I can take Lori because her and I can spend time together and I can do something that she enjoys. So I'm happy to do that. The writers group from the other city, you know, unfortunately that has not panned out, but we have a local group that started with another challenge group thing that unfortunately some stuff has gone on corporately that's now changing things. But our small group here in our area is deciding to just, we're like, we're just going to do our own thing and we're going to have our own group and we're going to meet on these, you know, a couple of times a month and we're going to have our own stuff going on. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stick with that. Cause again, that's falling into my passions. You had mentioned the women's community group, Lori. It's led by somebody like, Lori and I splurged this year with a neighbor and we bought season tickets or a half a season of tickets to the baseball games, which we love going to. That's the first time I've ever done anything like that. Like season tickets to anything, what? But I'm looking forward to that. Like to know that there's certain nights that we can go and there's theme nights and it's not an hour before the game. Hey, do you guys want to come to the game? It's, oh, I know I have four tickets to this game. And of those, one's mine, one's Lori's, one's our neighbor, and we have an extra seat. So, like I'm excited and looking forward to that. So I'm hoping like that is helping. Cause like you said, and I love sports. I do. And you love sports way more than I do. I'm very picky with my sports, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball are kind of my only things. And apparently pickleball which is a Washington State sport, is a huge thing. And I'm like, it's cross between volleyball, badminton, and tennis. I get it. I played it in school my entire life. And I'm like, I could do with it out. It's just, it's funny. But there's an entire channel on our TV network that's all pickleball TV 24/7.
What is with suddenly pickleball? We have a park here locally. They're going to replace the playground equipment. I got really excited. And then they said, they're going to put in a pickleball court. And I'm like, What?
Oh my God.
What is this
Why?
new obsession? I do not, I don't get it.
Just
This
put
is
in a
one I
tennis court and
cannot.
call it good. I mean, seriously.
I think a pickleball court is a hair smaller. And I think
and
that's
I think
where it is.
The pickleballs themselves. Sorry.
I know.
I think they're lighter, right? They're like wiffle balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess if that hits my car that's parked next to the park, I'm not going to be as angry as a tennis ball, but.
Right.
Or a baseball.
Or yeah. Baseball. I was like, because it is a little park. It is a tiny park. It's our favorite one right near us. It's a 2 second walk, but.
But they're taking out the kids' stuff and they're
No,
putting in
they're replacing the kids' equipment. So I was excited about that. Although some of us older folks are like, I don't know that metal slide is a initiation for children. So
yes, it is. If you don't like rip your skin
it's a
off on your
rite of
legs in the
passage.
summer, like you're not a kid. You have not experienced summer yet. I'm just saying.
I know.
Ladies are hilarious.
Yeah, I feel like we got off a tangent. I know I was again talking. Why am I talking so much today? I don't know. But yeah, I feel like this is a good topic, and this is something that people struggle with their entire life of balancing life professionally and personally.
Tia, I know you. Specifically, like you said, you were frustrated with the question. You're like, no, don't have time for that. Maybe dive into a little bit of what you want to share.
Well, first of all, I recognize that I am very attracted to squirrels. Everything I'm doing something, it's like, ooh, squirrel. The next, I'm a crow, the next shiny thing, right? So I do have to be aware of that. So that kind of leads into some things. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but as you guys were talking, I kept picking up my little notepad and jotting stuff down. So one of the first things I wrote down is what you're doing about you, about God, or for others? And it can be all of those. But that's a good question to ask. Who's this for? What's it going to serve? What's the purpose? So just knowing the why of that. And then I wrote down, who is it serving? And then be aware of your why. That's an important thing, I think, is knowing why we do things, why we want things, you know, what's our reason? And then I wrote down, be intentional. So in knowing your why and knowing who you are and who others are, you can make intentional choices. That's where I fall short. I don't always make intentional choices. It's opportunity. So it's either opportunity or others are like, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And that leads to the other concept I've talked about in the past. I don't know about on the podcast, but each thing I add to my plate is often small. Nobody's asking anything too much of me.
Right.
I'm not looking to put too much on my plate. The problem is it's 1 + 1 20 times is still heavy. It's still a lot. It adds up. So being aware that just because this one thing is small, what else are you crowding it in with?
Yeah.
So that's important. Knowing what need versus want is, both are important, our needs and our wants. Knowing the difference. Some things are both. I want and need this. But again, that's the informational piece, just knowing those things. And then I wrote down, watch for if then. Sometimes we get sucked into a trap as if or when this happens, then I can do this, or then I can relax, then I can enjoy and find joy.
Right.
That's a trap. We can find joy in the now, whatever it is. We can find purpose. We can find fulfillment. We can give each thing we're at in the moment and intentional joy, intent, and feeling productive, feeling fulfilled. So I think that's important. And then the other one I wrote down is, if not you, then who? Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones that can fill that need. But that's not the case. Often, if it's not you, if someone needs something from you and you can't do it, they will move on. they're going, it's, they will find a way to meet that need or desire or whatever. There's no reason you are the one that is obligated to do it. Because honestly, if we build our plates up so full and we drop that plate or something happens to us, you know, who's going to do it at that point? Someone's going to have to pick it up and do it. So, and also we're not doing anyone favors if we're doing everything for them. I've been accused lately of being an enabler, and that's really got me thinking. It's like, okay, well, when am I enabling and what is enabling? Well, right. Enabling is if I'm doing for others that they can do for themselves.
And the other word that gets is for me often is, are you trying to please others? I'm a people pleaser.
Right. And that's right there in that category of enabling. Now, there's a difference between enabling and encouraging or trying to add perspective. And that's what I've been trying to, at first I took it on as if that was the case. I am an enabler. Mm-hmm. I owned it. And then I had to sit back and go, wait a minute, that's not fair to me, because that's, yes, there are moments and I'm learning not to do that. However, sometimes it's just encouraging. Sometimes I'm just providing a perspective. That's all it is. I'm not doing.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've been struggling with, and part of the reason I really wanted to talk about this is, you know, we've talked about the fact that I've transformed my body inside and out, mentally, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, spiritually, that I've been on quite the journey in the last 5 years. One of the things I'm struggling with the most is that I was trying to explain this in very simplistic terms to my grandson, who's my eldest grandson, who's been with me the last couple of days. Because he's like, well, wait a minute, Aria, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about? You know, and so one of the things that's kind of currently going on, and the only way I know how to explain it, is it's similar to somebody who is recovering from alcohol or narcotics or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. We, no matter who we are in life, we view someone through their past, through their patterns, through the way that they have been within our life. Unfortunately for me right now, including my sons, including some of my best friends, people that I go to church with and worship with, I right now have not been able to change the view. So I am still the sick, dying woman. I want to have grace. I want to understand. I do. I understand. For the last decade of my life, I have been pretty much waiting to die. I get it. So if you were an alcoholic, if you were, you know, a narcotics person, if you were addicted to gambling, right? These are the ways that we view. And I feel like too often we don't allow someone to flip that script, change the view. And that's what I've been doing. And so I'm trying to let people catch up with me. And one of the things that was so amazing about taking this 6-week trip that I just took, outside of the two sisters that I originally began and stayed with, and another friend, no one on that trip knew that I was a sick, dying woman. It was very freeing. Nobody was like, should you be doing this? Are you resting? Everyone was just excited to have me involved. I got to use a lot of gifts and talents that I haven't got to use. I even went to like dance lessons, and I was just doing all of these things walking around downtown for miles and miles and just really doing all these things with this new body that I have physically. And it was amazing. And no one was treating me like a sick, dying person. The only help that I received was help that I asked for. Mm-hmm. It was very empowering and very encouraging that way. So there's this part of me, and I definitely, that's where I'm trying to figure out this life balance thing. Previously in my life, I would have taken that and ran away with it and been like, okay, I'm gone. Love y'all. What's that? Felicia, bye. You know, bye, Felicia. I'd have just run away and never come back. And I'd be like, yeah, catch y'all on the flip side. You know, I definitely am not that person anymore. And I don't want to run away. So I've been talking with my counselor, talking with T, EJ, my other mentors and valuable people in my life. How do I get people to see this new life balance that I'm trying to achieve that has things in it that previously would never have been there? So now, not only am I, from our previous podcast, trying to change dynamics within friendships and family and my faith, now I'm trying to physically not just say yes or run away, but to balance it all so that I can do this healthily. I don't.
Because you're like a kid in a candy shop right now that just was given free reign, like everything's free. Yeah. So now you're running around the shop, and then someone, as you're running around the shop, says, oh, never mind, there is going to be a limit of what you can do. Now choose something to a 5-year-old kid, you know, they're really like, I want this and I want this and I want this, but I can't have all of this. Well, now I got to choose and put some of it back.
I know. And it's so hard. I'm definitely that 5-year-old little girl in the candy shop. You're right. And it's been hard to say no. It's been hard to figure out the balances, which is why I completely resented that question when I was editing this book. So, yeah.
Here's another thing too, Lori, is in that analogy of the kid in the candy shop, you've been getting told no, you can't even go in the store for 10 years.
I know.
For 10 years. So, you know, and then so the idea of having to choose when you haven't even, you're still trying to learn. And so now being told no, or you should limit, puts you back in that 10-year space.
Right.
Because you were told no. So it's having to figure out, no, this is what a healthy person has to do. They have to choose.
This is what my counselor keeps reminding me. He's like, these are choices, Lori. These are not limitations. These are not restrictions. What are
always
you
cracks me up.
Choose?
We end up on the same page.
I know. You two are so awesome. I love it. You guys are mirroring each other.
And for the record, we don't know each other.
I know. It's hilarious. I love, well, you know, I'm a believer, so I believe it's all divinely. These are the words I need to hear. This is where God has me right now. And this is what I need to hear. So I am trying to, like, the other day I made a comment and I changed it. And I said, no, we chose to put this in our schedule. This is a responsibility that we chose to do. And my counselor was like, yes, you know, So he was like, yes, that's what I want to hear. You chose to do it. You didn't have to do it. It wasn't forced on you. It wasn't a restriction. It wasn't something you chose to do. But having said all that, so how do we do this? I mean, we definitely, if you're a believer, pray. we have to pray. We have to, and everybody does this a little differently. I journal. EJ makes lists. All of us somewhere in this tend to verbally process this. I think all of us are good at that. I mean, you mm-hmm. definitely, T. It is, but I would say that you're great at it for others, not as good for yourself. Just letting you know. Ooh. I see that over there. Just calling it out.
if you wouldn't have, I would have.
right. So, and that's that physician heal thyself thing. So, journaling, making lists, using a passion planner that could maybe cause a little angst. But I feel like I do need to. There is something powerful in putting pen to paper. We were just in our women's midweek the other day, and she said something about speaking it out loud. Do you remember the sister that shared that? Mm-hmm. She said there is power. She was doing this research that mm-hmm. there's power in the spoken word.
Yeah. As in, like, if you have a dream or desire and you speak it out loud, there's more power in that than just saying, I want to do that in your head. Like,
yes. When you get it out of the head. So whether mm-hmm. you do that orally or whether you do it from pen to paper, you got to get it out of here.
Yeah. Cause we often talk about, yeah, even in paper, like we talk about it in writing that we bleed onto the page. Cause it's that getting that out of your head. I feel like it's very cathartic to write it down, because sometimes all you need is to just get it out of your head.
Right. Well, so, and then the other thing too, real quick, just before I lose this thought, I always encourage those that I'm writing coaching with, if you read your sentences out loud, you'll catch the mistakes, you'll catch the good things, you'll see how it flows. So there is power in speaking it out. There's huge power in that. All right, T, go.
So when I'm working with clients, first of all, just the process of being in a counseling session and you're talking things out, right? So you get to experience that. But what I explain to clients is, and I know I've talked about it on here, but mm-hmm. there's this thing that where worry is a mind trap. Right. When we worry something, because it's our brain's way of convincing us we're doing something about the situation, but it's a trap because we're not. So when we get it out, like when we speak it out, write it out, do whatever, then it's not just rattling around worrying where you're going to lose track of where you are. You know, I know that if I've got like a list in my head of things to do, I may skip some steps because it's just rattling around, where if I put it on paper, it's out, it's done with it, I don't have to keep thinking about it. So it's like a solutions focused type thing. So so I was just saying, just gonna say that's what we do. And I often work with clients in sessions, is don't worry, don't do the worry trap, because not getting you anywhere.
And I want to recognize the next generation. There are amazing apps that help you do that too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not, you're like pen to paper. No, that's archaic, Lori. Get your favorite app. You know, I don't care how you get it out of here,
mm-hmm.
but we got to get it out. Yeah. And so even if you're typing it or voice to texting it or whatever you're doing, it does have to come out of here.
You know, an old school method that still works to this day is success boards. So if you've got a lot of ideas and things you want to do, you know, like both of you have talked about, you know, there's all these different avenues and they're coming from different places. It wouldn't hurt to put it out on a, like what they used to call a success board. So it's like,
yes.
And it can look a lot of different ways, but classically it was a big poster board, and, you know, you would have different, you know, buy my first home, and us when we were teenage girls, who we're going to marry, what our wedding's going to look like, right? But it's putting it up on a board in a way you can see it and visualize it, And it also might help you organize. Where do you think things fall? Another version of that that I like to do with clients, and I'm positive I've talked about this before, is mind mapping. So it's very similar, sitting down with a piece of paper, writing something in the center, whatever the situation is. And then you have like legs off of it, or, you know, all the sub subjects around it. And then underneath those, you can be creative with it. It can be colorful, it can be artistic, or it can be simple black and white. And I know for me, doing something like that has helped me ask the right questions and get the answers I need and develop steps that are doable, so I don't feel so overwhelmed. And it, I've actually done it and it works. So yeah, so that's another, very similar to a success board. Yes. You can combine those things, but it's a great way to get it all out on and kind of give yourself a roadmap.
I think another thing that I've learned in this transformation process, you know, I've already confessed to being a perfectionist and very driven person often, and definitely somebody who struggles with saying no. So we all know those weaknesses about me. But one of the greatest things that I have learned how to do, and I do feel like it really helps me, is I have given myself time to not think, to not process, to shut down, to be still. There's a million ways you can phrase that. So I know, I am not going to speak knowledgeably about how to be a good Buddhist or what meditation Eastern wise looks like. What I can speak to, though, and so you can put it in whatever context you like, is learning how to be still, learning how to be mindful, and allowing myself to just sit. And I've been working on sleep hygiene. And so I listened to this particular Irish storyteller online. And one of my favorite things, so he does this countdown as he gets ready before he starts telling the story, because he wants you to be at a place where you could just be open to imagination, to hearing the story, to whatever. And when there's 20 million things still going on in your head, that can't happen. So he does this countdown. And, you know, I love that he always says, let my voice be a safe anchor. I'm safe. And because somebody like me who's been through a lot of trauma and a lot of things, I have to feel safe or I cannot be still. Part of my response to all of that is that running and panicking and right, and the flipping the lid and all of those things that we talked about, right? So if I have a safe anchor, a safe space with which to do that. But the other thing that I love is he says, don't all the things from today and tomorrow and yesterday that are still there, acknowledge them and then let them float away like clouds. You can't do anything about them right now. Just let them be. It's okay. And I am a person who needed permission to realize that. I did not. I constantly thought I couldn't rest until I figured it out, until I solved it, until I fixed it. And he and my counselor and T and all of these things have given me permission to just be. And I didn't realize, I really didn't. I didn't realize that that was something that I could do. And that that wasn't being selfish. It was actually self-care. And so I feel like one of the best ways I can bring balance is to allow myself to just be, to be okay in a moment, in a season, to realize that I do not have to solve it all. And then when I wake up fresh in the morning, or I come out of that meditation, or I've had that very mindful time of prayer, when I come out of those times, the thoughts and the feelings and the desires somehow miraculously seem to fall together much more like a good puzzle than they ever did before. I actually have room to do these things. I know this is probably not mind-blowing for others, but for me, this has been monumental and has been mind-blowing. I do not have to solve it all right in the moment, and I can just be. And then usually when I rest, usually when I'm still, those things are so much more solvable, fixable, and balancing is just comes so much easier.
So something for me, first of all, it's been an interesting thing that I've discovered more recently, is that I actually like myself. You know, so it's, you know, we grew up in a generation of that's kind of egotistical, Tina, but it's not. I've learned that I actually like who I am, my flaws and all. I mean, I just chalk it up to part of my charm, you know, like, well, that's a Tina thing, you know. It's like in this house, in my house, it's well known that if Tina touches it, it's going to get lost. Now, I could be offended by that. I could, or I could just be like, well, that's just, I'll try to make up for this, you know, type thing. But I, most of the time now, compared to when I was younger, most of the time, I feel like I'm enough and I'm not too much. Right. Sometimes those thoughts creep back in. I just recognize them now. And sometimes I need to sit with them and say, okay, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Usually it's happening because I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed and I'm doing too much. I've taken on too much and I've given everybody else all the power over me. Yeah. So there's that awareness. The other thing is Lori, with what you were describing about that thing you do at night. First of all, the thing I do at night is I watch, it just depends. It changes. But right now, the current thing, or the most recent thing, is watching people clean carpets. What is that about? I don't even know, but I go to sleep to it.
So soothing, though.
It is. It is so soothing. And then last night, I think I was watching time-lapse, like builds, people building things in time-lapse. Again, it works for me. But the other thing I like to do is, for me, it's sitting at the foot of the cross. It's my safe place.
Yeah.
It is literally my only safe place. And I can choose to leave it there. Mm. And sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget, oh, I was supposed to leave that there before I left. Right. And I can go back and I can leave it there. And then sometimes I go back and pick it back up.
I think we all do.
So, but that is, and it's something I do. I know this isn't super on topic, but I do want to let people know that sometimes finding our safe place can be really difficult, especially if you don't have a history of it.
Right.
So sometimes it's not about a safe place, but it is important to feel safe.
Right.
So with client, of course, because I work with so much trauma, oftentimes we develop a safe container. Yes. Where can I put this right now? And it'll stay locked in because I have the keys to it. So.
Yeah. I like that you said that. Yeah. Any thoughts, AJ?
I was trying to look kind of, I don't know, this, aside from what I shared earlier, I feel like balance, and it's it's taken me a long time to believe that my skills are worth something, because I don't have, I think I shared in the last episode, or it might have been this one, they blur together sometimes, not having as much of the educational background as some others do. So I sometimes feel that, well, because I don't have this, then I really should just give my skills away for free. But that's not true. And I think it's taken a lot of people to remind me that my skills have value. And while it's one thing to like serve at church and help people out, at some point helping out, I had a woman came to me about a month or so ago and said, "Jay, I know this is going to sound crazy, but would you mind doing some driving for me?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she goes, "Well, there's a certain day of the week that my kids all have soccer practice on the same day." She's like, "I can't be in three places at once." So I was wondering, she's like, "Would you be willing to take my daughter to practice and just hang out until she's done and then bring her home?" I was like, "Oh yeah, sure. Totally. I love driving. And give me a chance to get to know her daughter." So I've been doing that every couple of weekends, or every couple of weeks. And I was just going to do it for free. I was never going to say, "Well, only if you pay me this amount," or anything like that. And she's like, "Well, how about this?" And so she's been paying me for it. And I was like, not necessary, but she did it. And I was like, kind of realizing like, oh, even this, like, because when you continue to give your skills away for free, oftentimes it continues and you become taken advantage of. And that's where you have to find your balance and your boundaries, because I'm happy to help people like all the time. But at some point, when it starts draining me and makes me exhausted and makes me emotional and all that, then you have to start reevaluating where that fits into helping people. And is it really time to say, "Okay, I really want to help you, but you're going to have to compensate me in some way." Doesn't necessarily have to be financially. It could be, "I'll do this for you if you do this for me." A lot of people do that.
Yes.
But you know, I worked my butt off studying the YouTube videos, everyone I could find on formatting and editing and self-publishing. So I knew the ins and outs, and I knew where to go. If I had a problem with anything, I knew what website to check out, what answers to get, what questions I needed to ask. I took so much time doing that. And it took a couple of friends recently that said, "Your skills are valuable and you should use them." And that's why Lori and I created this business. We had been working with somebody previously. Unfortunately, their business plan didn't pan out how it was looking for them. And our skills were getting used more and more, and the payments were starting to slow down for what we were doing. And we're like, "We need to do this on our own." We now have multiple paying clients. We're still a small business, you know, but we're getting there. And word of mouth, I'm like, yeah. And even we had a client and they're like, "Well, I did this and I did this, so can you lower my fee down?" And we're like, "We can't lower it down anymore because there's still work that needs to be done. And we're not just going to give it to you for free." And I actually had to seek advice on that, because I was like, "Well, she's done this and she's done that and she's done this." And somebody's like, "Yeah, but you, like you said, you still have work to do and you still have hours to put into that. You're not going to just do it for free because she did some of the work." So I had to really pray about that too. And we set a boundary. I responded to the email and I said, "Okay, this is as far as we can go down. And if that's not going to work, we can come up with some other agreement. But at this time, this is where it's going to stay." And yeah, so.
And you can't blame her for trying on the one hand, but you can't be blamed for holding your boundaries.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No.
I think
both EJ and I are trying to figure that part out. You know, mm-hmm. we've been for so long just using these gifts and talents that God gave us kind of for free, if you will.
So think of it this way. You go into the store and it's split up in aisles. Mm-hmm. And on the far end, you have the extremely valuable stuff that's going to be expensive. You have the mid-grade, lower grade, and then you have the free aisle. I'm going to the free aisle first to see what I can get. Right. And so if everything you do is for free, then everybody's going to come to you.
Right.
And it's not because, and it's not as much about because they need you, but because you're convenient.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And it's not, it's again, it's not their fault. We all would go to the free aisle most likely, even if we had money to work with. Yeah. I'm going to go to the free aisle first, see what I can score.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Yeah. So I just think we've just been finding value.
Yeah.
And realizing that what we do is valuable.
Yeah. And I, you know, and just on top of that, like, I feel like that kind of extends into my personal life too. Like, I am valuable. I am, you know, I have things to share, thoughts to share, and, you know, I need to do that. But again, setting my balances of what that looks like and knowing where I can and can't, you know, say no, say yes. And it's not something that came overnight. It's something that's a lengthy process and probably I'll be doing for the rest of my life, trying to figure out what I want to keep in my schedule and what I don't.
Yes, I'd like to identify that. This is not a one and done thing. This is something that it's a life skill.
Yep. Well, and you always hear about quarter-life crisis, midlife crisis, three-quarter-life crisis. You know, like all these times when people go through this, you have to reevaluate. You're constantly like, you go to school, you get out of school, and it's like suddenly the 4 years that you just spent, you literally were all school, all day, living in the dorm, maybe, you know, going to, you know, the cafeteria to get food. I mean, just that, and then all of a sudden that's done. No more school. What do you do now? Most people, well, some go back home immediately and then may stay there. Others immediately have a job they go to somewhere and they have to start their life an adult sooner than maybe expected. I know people that are in their 30s and are still not even adulting yet. So whereas, you know, I unfortunately, because of my life situation, I had to reevaluate when I lost my mom, what that was going to look like. So there's different seasons and different changes in your life that's going to cause you to reevaluate and go through your balance in your life and see what's important and what's not.
And grief and loss.
And
grief
and deal with that. Yep.
Job changes.
Yep.
Divorces.
I mean,
there's just so many things.
And we've talked about all of that in previous episodes. So I highly encourage you to go back to listen to some of those as we talk about the changes that, you know, we've all gone through. Lori's been divorced. I believe you have been too. Mm-hmm. You know, I have never experienced marriage, but I've watched friends go through divorce and deal with broken relationships and kids and custody battles and things like that. So it's not fun. It's not fun to deal with. But every season is going to cause some reevaluation. And if you're not doing that, I highly encourage you to do that even now, even if you feel like you're in the best spot in your life. And, you know, everything is going well for you. Like, I really highly encourage you to evaluate where you're at in that. And are you really happy with that? Or is it just you're putting on a show? Because that, like this episode or like this podcast, it's all about putting on masks. Are you really happy? And this is really where you want your life to be? Or is there something else in your life that you want, but you can't have, or your current life situation is preventing you from?
And on that note, I want to also encourage folks to consider, are you doing what you're doing for yourself or for others? And the reason I'm asking that is because there's times I think about making a change to what I do. And anytime I even come close to it, I get immediate backlash, but you're so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or we can't replace you. I'm replaceable. Number one. Number two, am I really doing people any good if I've lost my passion for it?
Mm.
So right now, everything's still fine, but it's something I consider. And anytime, like I said, I talk about it, it's this immediate, and I talk about where I would, what I would like to do, and you know, instead, and it's like I get pushback, like, no, because then we won't have you over here, you know, type thing.
Right.
And so it's great that I'm good at it. I'm really glad. It would suck if I wasn't, but it's not the only thing I'm good at. It's not the only thing I like to do. And so, you know, those are things that I have to consider. And right now it's not a big thing. It's not a huge, you know, crisis in the making type thing, but it's being aware that that's there. And that if I do choose to make a change, that's okay. Yeah. It's okay to do that.
Right. Well, and I like the idea that it doesn't have to be a complete change.
Right.
Like sometimes I was reading in this book that I'm editing, but also other books and all the counseling. It sometimes you don't change the job, you change a little aspect. So you do add in something that's specifically for you that strategically makes your life richer, fuller for yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because I think the hard part of, you know, I watch all my kids are, you know, they're in their later 20s, going into their 30s, right? They're really full swing, young adults, parents, you know, jobs, all this stuff. And I see them struggling to make all of these life balances. And one of the things that I've been sharing with them lately is, well, what could you do just strategically? So yes, we have to have a job. We talk about that a lot, right? You got the J-O-B, and then you have the passions, the things that drive you, right? So for my youngest son, it was a small change in his life, and it was so amazing. You know, and my girlfriends at church were just teasing me. They're like, we don't know anybody else in our lives that does anything like this. But my youngest son got into LARPing, live action role playing. I've seen such a change in his life, personally, emotionally, he's actually doing better on the job. He didn't change the job because he's good at his job. Right? He's got that spatial brain, works in a warehouse, right? He does good. But he's found new passion. And now it's going over into the other areas of his life. His family life balance is going better. His work life balance is going better. And all he did is add in one thing for himself, that little geeky nerdy
side of himself. Confidence that built his confidence in his way.
Right. And he's like that anti-social, connected. Right? He's feeling connected. He's doing more with his own children. I've just seen massive. And all he did was put in this LARPing group into his life. And I was able to kind of join in with him to support that. And we've made new friends and new connections. And, you know, and it's given us a new connection in our relationship. You know, so sometimes the change isn't, and that's one of the things in this Art of Believing book I read. Sometimes it isn't like we think we need to change the job. But maybe what we just needed to do was add in that little piece or give ourselves so we do love ourselves. We do, because money makes this world go round. You're right, EJ. Right. We have to, it is an unfortunate reality that to have those higher paying jobs, yes, most of the time you have to have a degree. And if you don't have one, then we in this world culture, we say you're not good enough. You can't have this tier of pay. And
right. You know.
But we have to pay rent. We got to put food on the table, right? So we do have to have the J-O-B sometimes. Some of us are blessed, like I feel like I was blessed in that my J-O-B definitely was part of who I am as a whole person. Because I'm extroverted, I'm really good at planning, right? So I became, my whole life has been about hospitality. It is a definite gift and talent that God gave me. And I love to share it with others. So I feel like for many, many years, God gave me a great combination. I got to be very passionate about what I did and had it pay the bills. So sometimes you're lucky and the job can be something that you're passionate about and you get to combine them, but not always. So just realize that sometimes it's just a little thing, or the being mindful, or taking the time to crochet, read, needlepoint, whatever it is.
I'm going to say that Lori will never be the crocheter or the needle pointer. Just saying that she's just throwing that out there as ideas.
Right. But yes, those are not things my eldest son would let you know. I would rather take the needles and poke my eyes out than to do those things. They're not my things. But they are some of T's and some of EJ's things, and other people's. Just not mine. But sometimes it's just little things. So just kind of like we talk about being seasonal, I really like intentional, but something else that came to mind was committing my time strategically. This is a new concept that I really want to try to embrace. How do I commit my time strategically so that I get filled and others get filled? And for me, that God gets glory. So if I can fit it into, you said top three. So if I can fit it into that, so do I get filled? Do others get filled? And does my God get glory? So if I can fit it into those, then I can strategically plan it out a little better, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, and I want to tackle something else, and I know we got to wrap this one up, but I think too, your marital status or lack thereof, often singleness to married, single to dating, those are other times where you may have to reevaluate. And also for me, like I'm 40, there's a very good chance I will never be able to physically have children. So then I have to make that decision of, well, do I want to put myself into a mentor role, like at church with some of the younger kids, like the teens and the young adults, or do I, what does that look like for me? And I think as I was sharing earlier, you know, I've been helping take somebody's daughter to soccer practice, and we've been having conversations that aren't just, hey, how's the weather? And, you know, how's soccer practice? But, you know, and so I feel like just a little bit of that and, you know, doing that a few more times, her and I may, you know, have a connection, and that would be really cool because, you know, just and see where that goes. You know, that might be a mentoring role, like as she's interested in some similar things to me. And, you know, she's, I think we had talked at one point, she said she thought about being a marine biologist and was like, you know, I once thought of that too. And, you know, we talked about how both of us didn't like chemistry as much as we like some of the other sciences and, you know, things like that. So I feel like I could be a mentor in her life. And that may be where I'm at. And I know I have a few other single friends who've, are older than me, who've never had children. And, you know, that's kind of where they've settled themselves as being a mentor role. And one of them actually became a social worker. She went back to school later in life and became a social worker. And now she's working with at-risk youth and youth that are in the juvenile detention centers and stuff and where I used to live. So she found a way to kind of bring her passion and her vocation, passion, career, you know, in a different light than just working at a shipping center where she'd been for a long time. For me, I've had several people throughout the last 10 years tell me that I have a great personality and I'm very patient with people. So being a caregiver is a great job for me. But, you know, T said it's like, if I don't have the passion for it, am I really doing somebody a service or am I doing them a disservice? So that opportunity, I think I mentioned in this episode, maybe it was the previous episode about possibly moving in with a neighbor. you know, that is that something I really want to do? It at this moment, it's she has a need that I can definitely fill. But what would that look like and for how long? Because that's my passion is not in caregiving. My passion is not in the medical field, but I see so many people that need advocates in the medical field. So where does that fall? Is there some way I can help in that way? I don't know. But yeah, so I feel like there's all different stages. We, you know, learning the word no and being willing to say no, but also being willing to like find what you enjoy. And there's always got to be something you enjoy in your life, because if not, then you're going to become bitter. And I'm really glad Lori's younger son was able to come up with the LARPing, because that has definitely pulled him out of his shell a lot. I've seen even the growth in the short time I've known him. I'm like, he does what? And he actually socializes. Like he was talking with people like in a group. And I'm like, this is not the kid that I know and that I met a few years ago. So
he just really recently transformed his garage into like a D&D den.
Yeah, he's having a blast. So I think it's great. We've covered a lot. I think it's a great topic, and I'm sure we'll reevaluate and talk about it again, as we've talked about in many of our other episodes, that these are ever-changing episodes, and we'll might talk about it now, and 20 episodes from now we might bring it up again in a different way because things have changed, or we are reevaluating and it's like, hey, where are we at now?
Or we look at this episode and say, hey, there's a lot of other episodes in this one.
Yep, right. Exactly. Which right. I feel like this one is.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, ladies.
And just a reminder that we do have a website now that you can listen to our episodes on. It is behindthemaskpc.com. You can check out a little bit about us. You can contact us in various different ways. All our links are on there, as well as all the episodes. So you can just click on a episode from the website and listen to it wherever you are. You don't have to have it on your podcast platform. And just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. You can also find us on YouTube and major podcast platforms. We'd love for you to be a subscriber. So if you're not, please click the subscribe button and like this episode if you really like it. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads is Behind the Mask PC. And you can also email feedback and future episode ideas to behindthemaskpc@gmail.com. To find us online, links for us will be in the description box. And on behalf of the ladies and myself, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.